It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you're damn right it is. And we are coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting today from the very fancy Grand Ole Opry House in Nashville, Tennessee. I got the fancy headset on like I'm Madonna. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla wearing a cone bra because tonight is the Patriot Awards. This is not a drill. It is the real thing. We're going to have a three-hour radio extravaganza with just an embarrassment of high society Fox News talent, like actual TV stars. Not like me. I look like the guy who installed your TV, which is why I have to outdress all the talented stars. But joining me now to kick off the show, just the bell of the ball. If you're a fan of the show, you know I love this guy. He is someone I may or may not have spent a few minutes with in the bar yesterday, down here in Nashville. And that laugh sounds like the closest thing you'll get to a yes. Giano Caldwell is here,
right.
And the crowd goes wild. Hey, man, happy Patriot Awards.
Happy Patriot Awards to you as well. Glad to hear to celebrate real true heroes.
Well, this is the thing, and this is why I think it's so awesome, and this is what everyone listening needs to know about today. It'll be a regular radio show, but we are in a very celebratory vibe because the people that get saluted tonight, I always call this show the Oscars with camouflage, because it is. We're saluting the act, not the people who play heroes in the movies. We're playing. These are the people who just actually save lives.
The real heroes. Absolutely.
It's humbling. It's cool.
Yeah.
That being said, there's still a lot of showbiz egos flying around backstage, right? Let's see, you know, I've made eye contact with like one person. Like it's like, look away. But it's a really powerful experience, and we're going to be there. We're going to be saluting the heroes. We're going to be watching the show, so it's going to be great. But as the show evolves today, we're basically just doing a revolving door of Fox talent that are going to be co-hosting segments. And thank you. I know you waived half of your appearance fee to do this. I was told it was steep.
Only my manager that said that. I didn't agree to it.
Can I just say something? The language he used, okay? And I'm an ex-cab driver. I've heard things in traffic. But that's why you're getting where you're going in life, that kind of agent. I mean, man, I was a little nervous. I wasn't even in the room. I had no idea. That wasn't me in the headlock. That was one of the female executives. But no, it's great to see you, man.
Great to be with you.
Nash Vegas, let's talk about this really quick. Okay, because the things we're going to get into today as the show goes on are obviously the big box political items, Biden polling horribly.
Yes.
Talk of Joe Manchin getting in at this point. Yes. We've heard a little bit of that. Trump's obviously ahead in the polls. And then we've got this overarching thing of the world's on fire. There's a war. There's protests. They're getting violent in D.C. last night, the pro-Palestinian people.
Yes.
So what we're basically trying to do today is navigate that sea of negativity with a feel-good vibe. That's why you have to bat leadoff.
That's it. And you know what's interesting is you mentioned the pro-Palestinian people, the anti-Israel people, or pro-Hamas protesters outside of the DNC. Man, looking at that footage, 200 people?
Yeah.
They look like they were trying to storm the gates for a catfish fry. I mean, I would have been in line with them. It's like, I literally, there is catfish in the DNC. They do have it.
Oh, stop
but,
it.
When I first moved to DC.
I might switch parties. I didn't know this. I'm kidding.
A Democrat friend took me there. They didn't know I was a Republican. I wasn't on TV at the time. But I enjoyed good catfish there. But I got to tell you, the world's upside down, Jimmy.
Yep.
People are feeling it all over. And when you think about the Patriot Awards and the fact that we're here to celebrate good, you're not going to see any pro-Hamas protesters storm the stage.
No. I thought about it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I got to open the show. I need to do something splashy. So I needed to come out. Maybe.
That's it. Well, the good news is that we got real good security here, and tickets are still up for sale. So we encourage people to go online and purchase some tickets and meet us there.
Oh, yes. If you're local. I mean, even if you're not local, because we're about, 6-7 hours out from the show. If you guys want to go on a bender right now, make it a roadie.
That's it.
You can buy your tickets on the way in the car, foxnews.com/Patriot Awards, and you can come hang out with Giano and I. I mean,
imagine that. That's right.
Careful what you wish for, though.
That's right.
I will tell you this, you guys. Everyone that I'm semi-friends with at this TV network, of course, texted me yesterday, like, what are you doing tonight? Okay. Gian Okowa was the only guy who texted me at 2 in the afternoon, what are you doing right now? Because he was ready to go, baby. And that's just, why you battled.
I just figured if I reached out to you later in the day, you might already have the cocaine. I was like, oh, well, I may
sure
not see him
right
at all.
That's a lot of challenges.
You got
to
be on air today. So, you know, I was trying to look out.
Killing me.
I'm that sobriety friend for
we
you.
We had a great time. But this is the thing you notice, okay, is when you're a TV personality and you're on the road, your disposition on the air is what you attract in an audience member. Mm-hmm. Meaning everyone that we met yesterday, and it's probably the same for you everywhere you go, has your vibe. You know, that's what I find on the road. Everybody I meet is goofy. They're fun.
Yeah.
You know, they're smart. They're, you know, sharp people. But they're great. So, like, the folks we met in the bar last night, like, usually you do meet people and they're like, hey, we should go out, you know, hang out. And you're like, no way, that guy's crazy. You know? Right. I would have went out with those people.
Yeah, did you?
They were great. I know. No, I didn't. I actually – this is what I did yesterday. You'd be proud of me. Okay. I had one drink with you, our crew,
yeah,
my TV production buddy, which was great. And I ran into Abby Hornacek's parents, who are the sweetest human beings
alive.
Oh, yes, they
were really nice. They were really
like, they're
nice.
So sweet. Absolutely. It's amazing that Abby's such a monster behind the scenes. I'm kidding.
No, but, she's just like her parents. She's such a sweetheart, such a
like
lovely
this,
human.
They're the sweetest human beings.
Yes.
Shout out to Stacey Hornacek and Jeff Hornacek, who I could totally take in basketball. Gian Caldwell is in studio. We're kicking off the Patriot Awards down in Nash, Vegas. Is this your first Nashville?
No, actually in 2019, mm-hmm. I wrote a book called Taken for Granted, How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans Liberalism Failed. Get mm-hmm. that book. And I was on Huckabee's show.
Stop
He's
it.
He's in Nash, Vegas.
I forgot about that. I
yeah.
love Huck. Huck's a good
monster
dude.
Show.
Yeah, yeah. No, Huck's great. He's fun.
Yeah,
they
he's
love
great.
Him down here.
Yeah, I know. They
he's,
really
he's
do.
He's like a male Dolly Parton.
Man. And
no,
he had
is.
Just an incredible audience, too. I took pictures. I stood back 2 hours taking pictures with people.
That's rad.
Yeah, isn't
that,
it?
That is, no, that's sick.
Man.
No, there's a lot of, I always say, it's like a stampeding herd of happiness here.
Yes.
Well, you know, one of the perks of having a town where the bars open at 10 a.m.
Or 10 a.m. number one bachelorette party in the world.
That's going on as well. No, that's going on, fellas. If you're looking to pad your stats, okay. Folks, if you're looking to make out with a girl who's crying, who's so drunk, she's crying for no reason whatsoever, this is a town for you.
This is it.
Folks, if you'd like to hit on a girl who's on a circular bicycle that one of them's about to throw up off the side of, this is a town. I mean, it's wild.
If you want to meet a girl in a honky-tonk.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, some people were saying to me yesterday, let's go to a honky-tonk, and I said, listen, I don't use that racial language. White people are okay with me. I literally didn't know what it was. Like, I'm thinking, yeah, like, wait.
So did you think it was like a slur if you
I thought it was a slur. So I said, look, I'm okay with white folks. I don't use that kind of language.
So do you think – that's funny. Gian Caldwell thinks that Cracker Barrel is actually a racist term for Bob Evans.
I said, I want no parts of this. And then I happened to walk past a building and it said a honky-tonk. And I said, oh, this is a real thing.
Yeah, man.
Maybe, like, it's yep. okay.
Yo, man. The tattoo parlors, the boots, it's all going down, man.
That's right.
I love it. I think it's great. And you know, the thing is, when we get out there tonight and this whole vibe goes on, okay, when it's over and we're done saluting all the heroes, which is very powerful, okay?
Yes.
But it spills into, like, the after party and
That's
the streets.
Right.
And it really is, like, such a cool thing.
It is.
You know what it reminds me of, G? This is what it reminds me of. You know those Starburst commercials where the guy's, like, just bored at work, he bites a Starburst, and, like, a tidal wave comes in, and there's, like, a marching band playing, and women are in bikinis? All right, maybe I took it.
Yeah, I'm like, that's your commercial.
You didn't watch that version of the commercial? But it has that vibe. Everything just kind of takes off when you get down here. So I've been digging it. Okay. Last thing I'll hit you with, it's a political question. I'm sorry to do this, because we've been having such a nice time.
No, let's go. Let's
we've been
go.
Having such a nice time. One of the big conversations today on our show revolves around TikTok and the fact that we've got kids now getting on TikTok and being like, Osama bin Laden was right because of this
right,
TikTok
this
letter.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. So, like, really quickly, okay, are we supposed to go back to beating our kids a little bit just to get people in line? Let's
you know,
talk about
I've
it.
I've often wondered about that. And, you know, parenting has failed largely in
That's
a bunch
I mean.
Of these
That's
different
what I'm
communities.
Trying to say. Parents
be,
are blowing it.
Yeah, like all over the country. Whether you be in urban America, you're in the country, you're in the suburbs. It seems as though there's been a failure there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, kids have become much more independent and they really question everything.
Mm-hmm.
which is good, but when you see kind of the rhetoric they're following when it comes to the Israel-Palestinian fight, it's like, what are they thinking? And then what's even more problematic is, you know, we're adults in a room.
Yeah.
It's Generation Z and the millennial generation, which I'm a part of, will now make up the largest voting bloc in America in the 2024 election.
Uh-huh.
So you see what's going on at the DNC.
Yeah.
With them rushing the DNC. You think these folks aren't going to change their rhetoric on Israel?
No.
Democrats are going to change their rhetoric on Israel, Joe Biden included.
Yeah,
and we've already started seeing that. You see it at the White House pressing briefing.
That's a great point.
America's in trouble, bro.
No, it is. It's a scary moment right now because they are so brazenly political.
Yes.
This started with, like, Israel's all the way right, no ceasefire.
Yeah.
Because he's been yelled at so much by his squad and they see what's going on in liberal campuses, they've adjusted to, all right, maybe not a ceasefire, but a pause, which is a ceasefire.
Right, yeah, literally.
It's the dumbest thing in the world. But they're really, you're right, they're backing off the throttle because politically they have to. But that's not real leadership. Because if you know this is bad for society, you've got to try to convince your base to go in the other direction. But I don't think we're living in that world anymore.
I mean, in the last 10-plus years, how many Democrats you've seen be real leaders?
Yeah.
To stand up and say, you know what? We're going to do what's right, not what's going to keep us in power. They are focused on the power
play. They just want the power.
And for Joe Biden, for him, it's almost like a life-and-death situation because he has to shield his family from investigations.
To be clear, him walking 10 feet is a life-and-death situation.
No, it's not even funny, but it's true.
I know.
But the truth of the matter is, his family's personally in trouble. So whether he be in a wheelchair or not, he's going to try to run for 4 more years because he knows he cannot be prosecuted by the DOJ.
That's the
according
part.
To their memo. So, yeah, he's going to continue to enrich himself. He's going to try at least his family. And then you got Democrats who will do whatever for power.
It is. It's sick. In this season of America, the writers have really taken it somewhere. You know, it's gotten nuts because you're right to say – he does need to run for re-election, if only because of the legal protections that come with getting the job. And then there's this other thing that I think a lot of folks forget, which is that all of the reasons we think make him terrible and unqualified for the job are why the people behind the scenes want him to run again.
Right.
Because it gives them more power. Right. If you're a bureaucrat, you don't want like a 52-year-old who has ideas.
Right.
You want a guy who wants to be pointed towards a pudding cup that'll do whatever you tell him to get there. So in that regard, like, Biden's a home run for the establishment.
They want a puppet. Yeah, they do. Yeah, somebody that they can get in is just going to be a figurehead. And that's what he's largely been because people don't trust his leadership because there's been none.
Yeah. No,
there's been an emptiness of leadership. And I got to tell you, for those single ladies that are listening, I am a leader. I lead. I lead very well.
He will lead you right to the ATM to buy him drinks.
Listen.
2023, man, feminism. You've got to let the ladies pay.
I like modern women until it's time to get traditional.
Careful how you phrase that.
That's it, right?
He likes modern women until Dylan Mulvaney shows up. Because those are the modern women, Giotto.
I'd
hate to tell you. You're the best,
sweet
man.
Well, thank you for having me. And please follow me on social media at Giotto Caldwell, G-I-A-N-N-O. Caldwell, C-A-L-D-W-E-L-L. Dropping those Instagram DMs, ladies.
Hey, I'll see you at the after party, player.
All right, see you, brother. Love you,
this.
My G.
My man.
The show that leaves you without hope or change.
I'm telling you, man, this stuff will poison your mind.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
There it is. Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. If you're following the news, I am down here in Nashville at the Patriot Awards. Joe Biden was out in San Francisco yesterday meeting with Xi Jinping.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did happen. We have proof, and I'm going to give you a little bit of the back and forth that ensued afterwards. Xi Jinping, of course, speaking through a translator here, says all the right things. This is part of the MO, which is we love you guys, we're the best. You know, we're always looking out for America. You know, we're allies, we're friends, we're not rivals. That's a lot of how it goes down with somebody like Xi Jinping. But the reality is, at the end of the day, these are our biggest geopolitical foes in the world. So it's a little nuts to know that you're sending in the President of the United States to meet with Joe Biden. See what I did there? Here's Xi Jinping, the guy running this place, I kid, speaking through a translator about the importance of the relationship, clip 5.
The China-U.S. relationship, which is the most important bilateral relationship in the world, should be perceived and envisioned in a broad context of the accelerating global transformations unseen in a century. It should develop in a way that benefits our two peoples and fulfills our responsibility for human progress.
So that is Xi Jinping through a translator saying, we are all in this together. That's what Xi Jinping is saying.
Wrong.
No, they don't actually believe that. But here is Xi. It's so fascinating to me to hear any of this. Okay, talking about, you know, we got to share the world and we don't want to get into a hot war. Okay, but the reality is everything I'm about to play for you has one thing in common, and there is no actual commitment or deliverable to improving the quality of anything between the U.S. and China. It's a photo op. You get out there. Okay. Xi's job yesterday was basically to get on the world stage, say the right things about his relationship with America, and make sure Biden walked in the right direction when he was done talking to the guy.
Biden is such a disaster.
But that's basically his job. Like, Xi's there yesterday for about 5 minutes on the world stage. He's Joe Biden's nurse. He's got to make it look like they're both having a dialogue. But did they actually get together and talk alone?
The answer would be no.
If you've noticed, every one of these photos that gets released shows them sitting at a table flanked by five guys on either side, because it's ultimately the five guys that do most of the heavy lifting and the world leaders just nod on.
Tell it like it is.
Okay, it's not a situation where Biden sits down and holds court and you're in America now, here's a couple of jokes, here's an aside, here's my take on what's going on. They're very much articulating it for them. You know, that's what it is now. Do you remember the movie Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Where in the first one, it's like it's time for Grandpa to do it. Like, Grandpa hasn't done a killing in 40 years. And they hand the hammer to Grandpa and he can barely hold it. That's the president right now. When they go to a big bilateral meeting, there's five guys that are young or younger anyway. I mean, by definition, pretty much anyone alive is. But there are five guys who sit down on either side of the table and have a conversation. And Biden is sitting there like the grandpa in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Well, Grandpa hasn't said anything in years. And then he's got to make a statement at the bilat. But I got to be honest, if you've been watching the news this morning, there's a reason you're not seeing a lot of Biden clips making the rounds. But here is Biden embarrassing us, calling climate change the ultimate threat to humanity. Climate change. Not the fact that we're at the precipice of World War III in the Middle East. Okay? Not the fact, when you really think about the rising anti-Semitism in this country, the advancements in AI. Okay? He gets out there and calls it climate change, and in the process tips his hand to the other side.
What an idiot.
Here is Biden, clip 10.
We have to keep going. Above all, it shows us that climate action offers an opportunity for the nation to come together and do some really big things. You know, I've seen firsthand what the reports make clear, the devastating toll of climate change and its existential threat to all of us, and is the ultimate threat to humanity, climate change.
That was embarrassing.
You want to know why it was embarrassing? Because, again, okay, they're telegraphing their agenda to their enemy. Hey, we're focused on climate change. You know that thing we have no proof is even a thing? You know the reality that no one can control the weather, including us? Well, we're just going to get out there and tell the world this is what we're going to do, okay? We're going to pursue energy, something that makes you guys richer, us poorer, and the world a lot less safe. I'm just telling you because I care.
Biden sucks.
He really does.
It's the morning show that overslept. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
True story. It's a morning show that overslept, but it is wide awake down here at the Grand Ole Opry House in Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, girl. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Lot going on the show today. You're going to hear a lot of your Fox friends come by and keep me company as we count down to the Patriot Awards, which is as cool of a production as you'll ever be a part of, whether you're an audience member, whether you're a performer or a presenter, or somebody watching it tonight live on Fox Nation. If you're local, you want to come to the show, foxnews.com/Patriot Awards, if you want to get tickets on the way, and we do know that there are some still available. It always sells out closer to showtime. Grand Ole Opry House, of course, a prestigious, massive arena. And I will be kicking off that show tonight. Before we hand the baton off to handsome Pete Hegseth, who is, of course, hosting this thing as it streams on Fox Nation. Now, the one thing you'll hear me say a lot today, and you'll see it tonight on the show as well, is this is an award show that should be mandatory for the entire nation. Like, we should declare a holiday and make everybody watch this on, like, a Sunday night, Thursday night, if, you know, that's what we decide on, which is what we're doing tonight, because the people we're saluting are apolitical. Apolitical. They're what my show, you know, attempts to be. Okay, I'm obviously a conservative and I lean to the right, but I tell people every day I'm not doing a conservative talk show. I'm doing an American talk show. You can get on the air and disagree with me. You can tell me I'm wrong. I don't care. You know, I'm not here to influence how you vote. I just want you to enjoy yourself while you're scrolling the radio dial on your way to work, or if you're one of my fans, you're probably on the way to a meth lab, but or fleeing a crime scene in a stolen ambulance. If you listen to me, but the point is. Okay, I'm just trying to give you a good time and some perspective on issues. And what you get out there on stage at the Patriot Awards are the people who actually put their lives on the line. Like when a Hollywood actor who plays a cop for a living gets on stage and lectures you about politics, you're not actually getting the words of a hero. You know, you're getting the words of a closeted gay man with an eating disorder who does a lot of cocaine and pretends to be a cop for $30 million a picture. Okay, that's what you're getting. You know, when an actress gets out there and gives you a lecture at the Oscars on inequality, she's doing so in a dress that costs more money than your house. Okay, these are the people that are out there with skin in the game. These are the people putting on uniforms, whether they're military uniforms, police uniforms, first responder uniforms, fireman uniforms, EMTs, everything. Border Patrol agents, everything you can think of that comes with a uniform and the mission of protecting the American people. And you understand the true heroes, when the game is on the line, don't show up to a crime scene and go, are you a Republican or a Democrat? They just try to neutralize the threat. They just try to treat the wounded. They just try to restore some semblance of order. That's who these people are. They are the actual heroes. They're the offensive line of life. You know, any quarterback you know that's a Hall of Famer is a Hall of Famer because he played behind a really good offensive line. You might not be able to name them, but the reason you can name quarterbacks is because they were really good offensive lines, okay? Absent that, with no time to throw, with no protection, you can't throw the ball on your back, which is how our New York Giants beat up the Patriots in two Super Bowls. They got the Tom Brady and his gorgeous hair, and they made him nervous. They disrupted the rhythm of that offense. And ultimately, the Giants were too much man at the line of scrimmage, and that is what dictated the fortunes in those two Super Bowls. And the reality is, in life, okay, we are all living the life of a Hall of Fame quarterback. You might not be shagging chicks on the Daily Mail every day like Tom Brady. You might not be parading around in a super yacht. But comparative to the rest of the world, you live in America where you have American privilege. You have freedoms that don't exist in other parts of the world. You have an upward mobility in your life that's unique to where we live. I mean, if you were to break down my life, and the reason we talk about it a lot is, like, yeah, I was a cab driver. Now I'm on the radio. I'm all over the TV. Is because if I could do it, you could do it. I'm not saying this is what you want to do. I don't know that you want to live with this many voices in your head, dressed like an overweight figure skater. But the point is, if you wanted to, you could pursue it because you live in America. And the reason, okay, we have these lanes to run in is because of the people we're honoring tonight. Whether it's the soldier, the cop, or the fireman, or the EMT, or the Border Patrol agent who is working an HR job right now because they've let everybody into the country and they're doing a lot more paperwork than they are policing. But the reality is that offensive line of life, the people behind the scenes that make things go round, that's what we're saluting, okay? And I'm saluting truckers every day on the show for that same reason. Nothing you interact with on a daily basis gets to you without a truck, okay? And nothing, okay? At some point, it winds up on a truck. And because of that, okay, you're able to enjoy the quality of life that you do in this country. So it's a really cool thing to be a part of. And it's a really good source of perspective if you don't have some. So if you're not here, I would go on Fox Nation and watch it. If you're somewhere local, you got about 6 hours till showtime, I would make a bender out of it. Go to the Patriot Awards the way I went to Nashville, to Graceland the first time. Other side of Tennessee, down in Memphis. We were sitting around listening to Elvis once. Me and my friend Pat Shelley, who's just a good time mess, and my good buddy Lauren Arrigo, owns a fabulous, if you're on Long Island, she owns Pietro's in East Meadow. Really good Italian eatery. Of course, I don't go because I'm being told I'm not allowed to eat carbs. they have a shock collar around me when the bread dish comes out. But the point is, these are fine people. And one day we were sitting together on a Friday night. It was like 3:30 in the afternoon. Listening to Elvis was on the radio. I'm like, hey, you want to go to Graceland? Like, we were making plans for the night. We're going to go to the happy hour. We're going to go to the bar. I was like, you want to go to Graceland? And they were like, it just made sense. We were like, yeah, let's go. And we actually bought tickets Southwest out on Long Island at Islip Airport. And flew down to Graceland. Like 5 hours after we hatched the idea, we were on a plane halfway here. And that's the kind of thing that only happens in this country. And you realize those type of benders only happen because of the people who make your freedoms possible. So it's a really cool thing to be a part of. And if you want to go on a Graceland bender, okay, you're not going to wind up at Elvis's house, but you are going to hang out with me, someone who has the food and pill intake of late stage Elvis. Okay, you'll see shiny rhinestones. You'll see some type of offensive clothing. And I'm sure I'm going to sweat on stage. It'll be the closest thing. You won't quite have the king. You'll have the Rodney King. But it'll be a good time. Okay, back to politics for a second. Now that I'm done trying to do some tourism work. The thing going on right now that I really find fascinating about our politics is the country is situated in a very unique place. And what I mean by that is a lot of families have had the conversation about needing to take grandpa's car keys away, but we're having the conversation about the need to take away grandpa's nuclear codes, okay? We've got a dude in the White House right now. I mean him no ill will there, but go for the grace of God, go I. But we've got a guy in the White House right now who has no idea where he is.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
So one of the hot reports as we got on the air today, you know, you try to keep up the speed on this, is that Joe Manchin says that he wants to run now. He says that he's thinking about running. Okay, it's not, you know, definite, but he'd love to run. And why are people doing that? It's two-part. One is they realize the guy in power by no means has a lock on this nomination. None whatsoever. I understand he's a president, and historically it's hard to get an incumbent president off the ticket, but we're in different terrain now. And that's why you see Dean Phillips in Minneapolis. That's why you see, you know, guys like RFK threw their hat in the ring and ultimately got forced to run independent because the Democrats wouldn't give him the time of day. You know, obviously that moonbat Marianne Williamson is in the ring as well. The reason you hear conversations about everybody getting into the race is they realize if Biden's the nominee, they're going to lose, which is also why you're seeing so much public posturing out of Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom meeting with Xi Jinping, Gavin Newsom cleaning up the streets of San Francisco. And you understand the reason that went over is he knows Newsom himself if he winds up running and being the nominee. Okay. They know San Francisco is an eyesore. They know it's a political liability, and they don't want the Republicans to be able to use it against them. So here is Newsom answering the charge, okay, of, hey, you just cleaned up because Xi Jinping's coming over. How come you don't clean up when regular people are living, okay? And his answer, you know, I admire the candor here. He tells you the truth. It's because the regular people don't matter. Here it is. It's clip 12.
Anytime you put on an event, by definition, you know, you have people over your house. You're going to clean up the house. You're going to make sure the kids, you know, make their beds, you know, take the socks, you know, let's put them in the drawer, in the hamper. And that's, you know, you have 21 world leaders. You got tens of thousands of people coming from all around the globe. What an opportunity to showcase the world's most extraordinary place, San Francisco. This is a crown jewel. I was just with President Xi. First thing he talked about was San Francisco.
I mean, dude.
Garbage like you just makes me sick.
Yeah, I was just with Gavin Newsom. I was over with Xi Jinping. The first thing he said was how nice San Francisco is.
Yeah, but you know what the citizenry has been saying? You know what the first thing they've been saying when they've walked out of the door the last 5 years? Run. Run for your life. There's a pantless hobbit, some kind of angry day-drunk time traveler who's coming after me. Okay, San Francisco. I say this all the time. If you've ever watched the Thriller video with Michael Jackson, okay, I used to assume when I watched Thriller that all of those people who came up out of the manholes with ripped faces and clothes were actors. They're just people in San Francisco. It's just like live in Union Square. It's sad. It's depraved. It's really depressing. I've been there with Jenny and Lincoln a couple times, and you can't drive around it and not feel like you're in the behind the music version of a city. You know, when you watch Behind the Music, you're like, this band's amazing. They had all these hits. They're flying first class. They're selling out arenas. They're shagging starlets left and right every time you turn around. Somebody's doing another bump of cocaine off another fake breast, you know, something like that.
What the hell did you just say?
Okay, but then the Behind the Music starts to get ominous. Okay, and you're no longer hearing about the glam life. You're hearing about the they let themselves go. Okay, these guys started to get sloppy drunk during the day. They're crashing cars. They're, you know, zonked out on meds during live TV appearances. And the side chicks and the cocaine is going downhill. It's no longer pure. And the side chicks, let's just say, you know, not a lot of show ponies in the La Quinta. But the point is, okay, that's the portion where you realize this thing has become untethered. The compass is broke. Okay. In the case of a band, they've lost control. They've overindulged, and they don't have the willpower or the way to turn it around. What you see out of Gavin Newsom is they still have the control to turn it around. They just don't want to.
Bingo.
Okay, understand that. In every one of these liberal cities, San Francisco, and I do mean this, okay, it is the most depraved place you'd ever spend a day. Like, it's horrifying. It's and again, I wish it no ill will because I love the city. I romanticized it my whole life. But if they could turn that around in 48 hours, that means you could have this whole city, this whole country spotless in like a week and a half if you had the political willpower to do so. But the problem is people don't want to solve problems. They want to run on them. And if you have that problem of urban decay, if you have that problem of advanced poverty, drugs and crime and everything in between, you get to get up there when campaign season comes and go, I'll turn this around. Vote for me. But you understand they could turn it around now, but they don't want to because it's too viable of an issue.
That's just how white folks will do you.
And that's how they're doing us. Okay, but that's not unique to Newsom. Okay, that's happening in the White House. When you look at the country right now and the state of the country and the way the border's been overwhelmed and all the infrastructure is being inundated and swamped, and we now have migrants complaining about the quality of the accommodations. Like, first of all, shut up, okay? You don't have any rights as a customer. If you're staying in a hotel for free, I don't want to hear your Yelp review. I don't care, okay? You're in that hotel while some veteran is homeless. It's like when you go to Dollar Pizza, okay? I saw a guy arguing with the chef at Dollar Pizza. I'm like, dude, you paid a dollar for pizza. It was implied in the bargain that this wasn't a Michelin chef behind the counter. You know, this is a guy who was ripping Michelin tires off cars and selling them for extra meth money. But the point is, okay, if you wanted to fix the world tomorrow, you could. You just need leaders at the top that agree with you.
He knows what he's talking about. I couldn't tell
you guys. The critics have spoken.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
This is Fox Across America.
There it is, back in action on Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Fallon, broadcasting live today from the Grand Old Opry House in Nashville, Tennessee, Nash Vegas. Probably my favorite town in America because it's the only town where you can answer every question with, woo, and people know what you're talking about. It's great. You're in a bar, like, hey, you want another beer? Woo, you know. Consequently, you're driving home later that night. A cop's like, do you know why I stopped you? And you're like, woo, and he's like, exactly. But it's a great town, a stampeding herd of happiness. If you want to be a part of it, tickets at foxnews.com/patriotawards. If you want to come watch me open the show tonight in a flashy outfit from my overweight figure skater collection. Handsome Pete Hegseth will be taking the ball from there, and we're going to salute first responders, heroes, the people who make this world go round, the true offensive line of life, the people who get out there and put it on the line regardless of how you voted. Okay, no one checks your Twitter profile to read your tweets when they're pulling you out of a fire, you dig? And that's what's so, you know, I think inspiring about tonight is that we are saluting the people who deserve it the most. You go to a lot of award shows, and you don't really sit at the Oscars going, oh, that guy who's making $50 million a picture and acts for 3 hours a week and then shacks up with starlets in a trailer in between takes, he really deserves to be feted here. No, he doesn't. He's already hit the lottery. Okay, that's why I always think the Oscars are such a joke. It's like Hollywood actors, for the same reason I don't like them getting into politics. Hollywood actors are famous because they hit the genetic lottery. Okay, they're so good-looking, we're willing to pay $20 for a popcorn to watch them recite words that were written by an ugly person. Okay, and I only know that because I'm one of the people who's written those scripts over the years. But the point is, okay, they are in this realm of prosperity that they should just shut up and enjoy, okay? Whether or not they deserve a trophy is pretty debatable. Everybody who shows up at the Patriot Awards tonight, whether they win, lose, or draw, they all deserve to be saluted because they're the everyday heroes that are getting out there and doing stuff. So when you see me down here tonight, and I'll get to open the show, and you'll see all the fabulous Fox personalities, it really is an amazing opportunity to show your thanks and gratitude for people who deserve it, okay? I know people are excited to see us because we're TV people, and I think that's awesome too, okay? But believe me, we can only afford to be TV people because these folks keep us safe on the way to the studio. We can only afford to be TV people because if something goes sideways, there's a first responder there to, you know, get society under control. And to be honest with you, I'm talking about the TV stars. You know my deal, okay? Everybody down here looks like a TV star. I look like I installed your TV. You know, so when you see people in the lobby like, oh my gosh, Jesse Waters, my mom loves you. They see me and they're just like, Jimmy Fallon, do me a favor. You pick up the other end of this couch. We're just trying to move it over a few feet. If you could help me, I'd appreciate it. Jimmy, my car's running outside. Could you go sit in it? They get crazy. I'm like the only TV guy who gets like tipped by his audience. They're like, here's a five. Do something nice. But the point is, as a regular guy, I love a night that dishes out for the regular guy. Okay, but the truth is, on paper, you might describe these people as regular, but they're the real heroes. They're the people who, when you were playing games as a kid, actually wanted to be the hero. Like, they didn't let go of that. Like, when you stopped dressing up as Captain America, okay, because you had matured. Like, I stopped dressing as Captain America because the outfit didn't fit anymore. I was a chubby little kid. Okay, but when you stopped, it's because you were evolving as an adult and you were going in a different direction. When I stopped being, Captain America, okay, it was for my own reason. But these people didn't stop. They wanted to be the hero, and they pursued a life that would allow them to be the hero. And that's what you're here saluting on a night like tonight. So it really is rad, man. It's such a cool thing to be around. And for me, you know, you get to open the show, but most excitedly is you get to sit there and you actually really like take it in. And these people get to leave, you know, feeling like we care until they see us in the bar at the after party. And then they realize as much as we do care, we're human just like them. And that bar's going to be open and this town is going to be closed in style at the Patriot Awards down here in the Grand Old Opry House in Nash, Vegas. Back after this with Harris Faulkner and Raymond Arroyo. Hey, girl.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Our guy back in action on Fox Across America, live from the Grand Old Opry House in Nash, Vegas. Hour number two is going to be a banger. Raymond Arroyo is in the house. Rumors of a Harris Faulkner sighting, the queen of daytime, just an embarrassment of radio riches. I ran into Laura Ingraham a moment ago in the hallway, and she looks great. I'm wearing like a Scully Western shirt. Shiny, embroidered. We actually looked like a figure skating duo. Like, I need to get a copy of the pictures we just took. We just took some, like, publicity pictures. I always joke, like, hey, I look like an overweight figure skater. That actually looked, for the first time in my broadcast career, like I actually had a skating partner to lift over my head, do some double Lutzes. A little out of sorts as we get going here in hour number two. We were talking about the politics. We were talking about the conditions on the ground outside the DNC last night, where the protests got a little violent. Got a little violent outside the DNC in D.C. And this is the problem the Democrats are going to run into. And they've already run into it, according to the polls, at a political level. Is there is a large wing, I mean a huge wing, of the Democratic Party that is pro-Hamas. And it's a sad thing to say. It doesn't feel good to say. It's not anything I'm happy about. But the reality is the language of identity politics has reduced the conversation intellectually to such a lazy place where you're willing to overlook anything, okay, as long as it fits in the terms and definitions you've been fed in your jargon of identity politics. So when it comes to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, okay, they tell you the Israelis are occupiers. But they're not. They're not in Gaza. It's Gaza. Okay, they say they're committing genocide against Muslims. Folks, there are 2 million Muslims living peacefully in Israel. Okay, they're not going into Gaza because they're Muslims and they want to wipe them out. If the goal was to wipe out Muslims, they'd start in their own country. But they're not doing that, you understand? But because they've reduced the conversation, identity politics is for intellectually lazy people. What Martin Luther King wanted to do was he wanted a colorblind society. He wanted to live in a world where we judge people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. That takes some intellectual depth. You actually judge each human individual based on their own actions and intellectual contributions to society. That's what he wanted, a colorblind society. What identity politics does is lazy. It reduces everything to skin color. So you go, well, this skin color means good guy, this skin color means bad guy, and that's all I need to know. So you understand that's how this Middle East conflict is playing out right now. Okay, Hamas, with the darker skin, paraglides into Israel, kills 250 people, beheads 41 babies, tortures people alive inside their house, but their skin color's white, so I guess it's okay. That's identity politics. That's what's going on. And the reality for the Democrats is a big percentage of their electorate that they need to turn out in order to win back the White, or keep the White House, feels that way. Okay, do you think those kids on the quad at Harvard are Republicans? The guys crossing the Brooklyn Bridge, chanting from the river to the sea? Now, to be clear, a lot of these guys are just trying to get laid. They have no idea what they're talking about. Okay, most of these guys think Gaza Strip is a gentleman's club. They have no idea. But the point is, okay, they are still part of a movement that's going to vote a certain way. Because that's become a prevalent narrative. These folks are no different than the defund the police folks, which was the dumbest thing you'll ever hear for as long as you live, okay? You can't have a world without the cops. But you understand in the language of identity politics, that reductive language tells you, well, the cops are all bad. You don't work in nuance in the field of identity politics. It's like when they're doing those, you know, anti-racist things in kindergartens, where they're telling you, well, the white kids are the oppressors, the black kids are the victims. No, they're just kids. They don't want oppression. They don't want victimhood. Okay, they're kindergarten kids. They want chocolate milk. Thank you. Well, now they're getting like some weird oat milk and a lap dance from a drag queen. I don't know what to tell you, kids. You got to play the teams on the schedule. But the reality is that is a mindset that is voting Democrat. They're voting Democrats. So it's like you need them to show up and vote if you want to win the election. So what you're going to start to see, and you've seen it a little bit already, is they're kind of recalculating in the Democratic Party. You know, they were condemning this rhetoric a week ago and 2 weeks ago, and you can't say that, and we can't have a ceasefire. We stand unilaterally with Israel. They are kind of coming back a little something towards the center, because those river to the sea dirtbags are going to, you know, ultimately vote Democrat, best case scenario. And you need to appease them in order for that to happen. Now, again, most of that means public posturing. It doesn't mean abandoning Israel, thank God. Okay, but there is a reality that Biden is down 17 points in the polls with Arabs. Okay, he is down across the board with actual, you know, Gen Z voters. Okay, and the reason why is because they've been sold that language of identity politics on TikTok, where little influencers are getting on there and giving them, again, it's spoon-fed ideology. Okay, we live in a world where politics have become a branding exercise. It's something that becomes a part of your online avatar. Hey, I'm compassionate. I've got this flag in my bio. I say the right things, like get rid of the colonizers. Look at me. And that's what they're doing. It's like Hot Topic. You know, you go to Hot Topic, and you're like, well, I like insane clown posse. I'll get a patch, put it on my denim jacket. Screw you, bro. Slipknot. Putting that on my pet. You know, whatever. Fine. Great. Okay, but that's what politics has become now. They've turned it into a brand where you're just getting a bunch of patches and putting them on your jacket and hoping somebody will think you're cool. But the problem is all of these patches come with real life or death consequences. Now, to be clear, a Slipknot concert does too, if you've ever seen how many drinks and drugs they have in the parking lot. But the point is, okay, when it comes to identity politics, the consequence involves war and, you know, actual real life and death. So it's heavy. It's a heavy thing to watch, but it's something they're wrestling with internally at the DNC. Because they don't have an electorate that largely wants to do the right thing. Like, you can hate Republican leadership, okay, but there's no Republican running on anything other than America First. There's no Republican running on anything other than, okay, peace through strength. You know, every one of you was in a house at some point with an adult figure when you were getting restless and ornery and wrestling with your brother or, you know, beating your sister with a stack of dictionaries. I mean, mine was into that. She was kinky and weird. But the point is, we've all been in those places where you're getting a little restless, the kids are trashed in the living room, and someone goes, hey, knock it off. And everyone, you're like, oh, we better pull it together quick, or there's a belt or a spoon coming our way. Okay, that's what America has largely been to the world. Okay, but what the Democratic Party has to cater to is the kids that didn't have, hey, knock it off, to get them back into line. The Democrats are catering to the kids who got a timeout, the kids who don't live by the credo that if you act like an a-hole, bad things are going to happen.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Okay, they're catering to this other thing where their emotions are their facts. Okay, we were told that Israel's an oppressor and an occupier, and you can do anything to an occupier. And I don't know. And they're like, you know, somebody just needs to throw a shoe at one of these kids. Okay, but earlier in life. Okay, the reality is that's what they're catering to. They're catering to a subset of people who can't be wrong because they use terms like my truth, okay? This is my truth.
That was embarrassing.
Okay, there's no such thing as your truth. As we all know, there's only the truth, okay? And the truth is right now the people running the Democratic Party have no idea what they're doing. They're completely unmoored. It's a broken compass where they really, really, really want power. So they're willing to do anything they can to get it. You know, what do we got to do? Say defund the police. All right, guys, defund the police. No, it's great. Walls are bad. We should be building bridges, not walls. All right, yeah, that's fine. No, open up the border. That's what they're doing. That's reality right now. And in the hot topic they're catering to, the patches kids are putting on their denim jackets, they're putting on patches like open border. They're putting on patches like defund the police. You know, no human being is illegal. You know, until those human beings show up to a sanctuary city, at which point they're like,
get them out of here. Get them out.
That's my favorite thing in the world, Martha's Vineyard. It's like the richest vacation enclave. Dude, they are where Obama lives in Martha's Vineyard. They are so rich. They're using people as furniture. Like, you go to like a, you know, a Levitt's or something. You know what I mean? You go buy something, Raymore and Flanagan's. You go to Bob's. Bob's is great. If you want a recliner / microwave that can sharpen your lawnmower blade, Bob's has a great couch for you at an affordable price. My favorite thing about Bob's. this is a pleather cat cage / barbecue brisket smoker on sale for $3.99 this Memorial Day weekend. You gotta love Bob's. They're doing it all. But the point is, okay, up in Martha's Vineyard, they ain't going to Bob's. They're sitting on a guy named Bob. Hey, could you arch your back a little bit? I want to see the TV better. Okay, they're that rich. They have every resource known to man. But when the migrants actually showed up, 42 of them on a bus, they were like, hell no, ain't nobody got time for that. And they sent them off to a military base within 24 hours of them actually getting there.
That's just how white folks will do you.
And that is how white folks did them. Okay, but that's who the Biden administration has to cater to if they want to win re-election. They'll do anything to get power. Okay, but in order to get power, you need a good percentage of these people to show up to the polls. There's only so many ballots you can print up in the middle of the night, folks. I kid, stop it. You stop it. I'm being silly. But the point is, okay, they need these people to turn out. And if they're going to turn out, they need to be motivated. And if they need to be motivated, they need to hear a lot of stupid stuff. So buckle up, girlfriend, because it ain't going to get any calmer anytime soon.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
The show that's standing up to big tech.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Fox Across America.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We are live at the Grand Ole Opry House down here in Nashville, Tennessee. It's the Patriot Awards. We're excited. But in this moment, I'm doing a three-hour radio show. I'm, of course, distilling a lot of news. And I looked out at the world, and I was like, man, you know, the border's overrun. We're on the verge of World War III. Xi Jinping just bossed around our president. Nobody feels safe in the streets anymore. Who's ready for some comedy? And joining me now on the show, life has just paved so smoothly for this next guest, a multimedia matinee idol, and I do mean multimedia because he's got a fantastic Christmas album that we'll get into. Raymond Arroyo is back on the show. Hey, girl.
Oh, my.
Great to see you.
I love being with you, Jimmy, but you don't need me to do comedy. You had it well in hand, my friend,
and funny.
I cannot wait for tonight when you are opening here at the Opry House.
It's a big one, Raymond.
Yeah, for you, my gosh, for all of us.
Well, it's weird because everyone you know is in the audience, so it half feels like an intervention. It's like, no one you go do stand-up, you're in like a dark room.
Yeah,
you just shout comedy into the night sky.
Yeah, now it's playing to the family.
Yeah, when you recognize the faces, it's a little
different.
Is
it harder to play when you know the people in the ribbon?
I think not, and this is the only reason why.
Why?
I think that you probably have this experience, too.
They're paying you.
Because
they have to laugh.
They're paying me.
Yeah, well.
you see this bottle of Aquafina?
Yeah, I know. Well,
drink it slow, Jimbo.
Yeah, okay.
I'm kidding. But what I think you realize is once you're in that moment where you're the only guy talking in a room of thousands, you're in charge, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For 15 minutes, you're the bigger person.
Yeah, they're ceding control to you.
Yeah, that goes away. You know, and this is what I always tell guys who are like on the road trying to court women after shows. You have a very finite window, at, you know, from that performer audience stigma.
And it's when you have the mic.
Yeah, of course. And when it's over, you know, it'll buy you 20, 30 minutes. But once that's over, you're just another slob at a bar. So if you're a comic out there trying to close down on Broadway tonight, if you did a set at Zany's, you got to close at Zany's. Don't wait till you get to the after party. You got that stigma.
Do it right there.
Ride that wave, Raymond.
In the moment. So are you going to ask for a raise tonight? If that was part of the, is that what you're building to,
Phelan? While I'm on stage?
Yeah, because that's your moment. Yeah, you only have 15 minutes.
This would be it. I could close it with an impassioned plea.
Yeah, plea for for the 8 o'clock slot and a raise.
No, and they would. And they would give me a raise. They'd have me start driving nighttime Uber. They're like, no, you're going to get the good fares
You get to pick Harris Faulkner up. Your next guest. I'm teasing here. I'm teasing.
You know, the queen of daytime. How would you like to be her chauffeur?
There you go.
So there you go.
This is a step up.
Yep. So me and Raymond Arroyo here. There was some Ingram action last night. You're all over the place tonight. I mean, you're doing it all.
Well, we're doing the red carpet thing.
Yeah,
I'm on the red carpet.
I've got the
stats in so people want to tune in for that.
All right, good. So
we're doing the full. I got the full, like.
You dialed into Nashville.
We're doing Nashville chic. Okay. I mean, we're going for it.
Well, I'm going to look like $1 million.
You have a jacket tonight?
I got it all.
Rhinestones?
There will be. I got to tell you, it's flashy.
Come on, give us a little
tease. I don't
want to
give too much. You're not supposed to see the bride before the wedding.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
But we're not seeing you. We're just listening.
I'm going with like one of my oldest guy in the boy band looks.
Okay.
It looks like I would be, you know, like in sync. Or at our age, we would be like the
kids on the block.
Well, at our age, we would be like the back pain boys.
Not old
Backstreet.
Old man on the block.
Fine. But I'll be there. I'll be hunky. All the chubby chasers are going to get what they came for.
All right.
A lot of handsy old ladies going to be out there tonight.
We'll make sure you have extra security on the rear. That will protect the rear flank.
Raymond Arroyo is here. All right, really quickly, give this one to me. Biden last night, he told Gwen Stefani Gavin Newsom can have the job. My question to you is, how bad does Biden wish he could give Gavin Newsom the job?
The man when Xi took him for the walk in the garden, he kept walking and was looking for the sing-along. This is Biden.
Xi Jinping got put to work. He was a nurse yesterday.
Yes,
nursemaid. He was not a head of state.
No. And he's like, oh, poor Biden. I will walk him over here. Yeah. And off he walked him, and who knows where the hell he is. Yeah. He could be in Modesto by now. Dude, I don't know where they were walking
to. I had no idea Xi Jinping worked for Visiting Angels. There he was. Right. Leading the president of the United States around.
Well, Jill Biden needed the night off, so they brought Xi. You see, he's already helping the fentanyl problem. They said he's lowering fentanyl consumption.
Yeah.
Now we see how.
That's
I get it. I understand. It all makes sense.
It's so crazy. And I think, you know, there's this reality. We've talked about it recently.
Yes.
Where it's like you don't have much of a window to get a guy off a ticket. But I have this theory that they have a plan.
You think they're going to bounce him?
I think either they're either going to bounce him or there is a plan we don't get
with
yet. Because they're not dumb.
But who are they going to bounce him with?
I don't know. I don't know if it's Newsom. You know, he's been making a lot of you know, forward-facing appearances.
Yep.
I don't know that answer. We know it's not Kamala. But I also at the same time know that they want power so bad. And if you see the David Axelrods of the world being like, this guy's got to go. Obama. That's an Obama surrogate for all intents and purposes, which means they're kind of, you know, because this matters to them. Yes. They're willing to work long con. They're willing to let him dodder around all the way till July if they have to do it at a convention.
Well, look, if they can get him elected, he's going to be their nominee.
Uh-huh.
If they feel this thing
cannot work,
then, yeah, you might see Michelle Obama in the 11th hour.
He's not campaigning. Okay.
No, well, they announced
it. He has a staff of three people.
Yeah.
Okay. I know people who campaigned harder to be president of their fantasy football league than this man would be ostensibly campaigning right now.
Well, he doesn't have to.
I know.
Why work that hard?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't have to.
Well,
he just shows up
in
ways.
Funny. I think the plan was, obviously, if you just keep indicting Trump, you shorten the campaign because you got this guy tied up in court.
Right.
But it's not actually working in a weird way.
Did you see the latest Fox poll? 62% is where Donald Trump is now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, but that's crazy to think, because if you look at the other polls, it's not just Donald Trump. Like, Barron Trump is up 19 points right now.
Any Trump you got.
Raymond Arroyo.
I like that we are bringing a little joy tonight to
people. You're damn right we are.
The Patriot Awards are going to be a breath of fresh air. I'm delighted you're opening. And I'm going to remind everybody, got to get the plug in, Jimmy.
Yep, give it
I am going to be playing the Ryman Auditorium December 21st, the Christmas Merry and Bright
Tour. Oh, get him right now. We're back. It is Fox Across America with your radio buddy. Jimmy Fallon down in Nash, Vegas. The Patriot Awards going down tonight. If you're in the area, foxnews.com/Patriot Awards. Come watch the show. If you're home, get Fox Nation. Throw it on Fox Nation. See us in action. I will be opening this shindig, excuse me, before they bring out handsome Pete Hegseth, telling a couple of dirty jokes, getting the crowd riled up. And after this show's over, I'm going down to see my man Ditch, Memphis, Tennessee. The roar of Memphis. I got to tell you, I call into his show once in a while on KIM down in Memphis. But Ditch and the gang are here live at the Patriot Awards. We've never done this in person. But when my show wraps today, well, you KIM listeners, you will catch me on your local broadcast. And it's going to get rowdy. So buckle up for that. But in the meantime, we continue with the show. So silly. So Biden meets yesterday with Xi Jinping. We told you about that. Okay. And then we got into the follow-up, or the fallout anyway, which is people reacting to Biden meeting with Xi Jinping. Like, hey, you know, how'd that go for America? You know, or what would you have done different? You know, it's like the Olympics. The gymnast gets up there, does the floor routine, flips off the pommel horse, all that stuff. And then you go to the kiss and cry room. And you see your scores. Oh, only a 7 from the Swedish judge. So you understand, Biden had his big meeting yesterday. And now they're off to the kiss and cry room to see their scores. I want to give you some of the reaction from that because it's interesting. Okay. Here's Joe Manchin's reaction to tell you everything you need to know about how it's going for Biden. Here's Joe Manchin's reacted. Clip 15.
I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure and mobilize that moderate, sensible, common sense middle. The middle's gone. There's not many of us centrists left. And if I can reinvigorate that, and I said, I will do everything that I possibly can. I'm totally, absolutely scared to death that Donald Trump would become president again. I think we will lose democracy as we know it.
Oh.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
Okay, so this is the one angle Manchin's going with. Really is embarrassing. Like Donald Trump, it could end democracy as we know it. Okay, right now they're jailing their political opponents.
Bingo.
When you talk about undermining faith in democracy, okay, and it's not to say I can defend every one of Trump's actions in the aftermath of 2020, but obviously everyone listening, okay, and the dog you walk every morning knows that the Democrat behavior in the aftermath of 2016 was not to call it legitimate and go, all right, we lost fair and square. Now let's hear this Trump fella out. Okay, that's not what went on. Okay, Democrats like to tell you, well, you can't undermine faith in our elections.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Because not only have they undermined faith in elections, which is what they spent 2016's aftermath doing, but they've undermined faith in some of our most important institutions when it comes to the DOJ. Okay, we've never indicted a president in 247-year history of the country. We've now indicted a guy 91 times, and I'm being honest. A lot of the charges, they really are like garbage charges. Like the charge in New York is absurd. No one's ever been charged for it in the history of the state, and no one is claiming injury. There's no one out there being like, we gave this guy a loan that we shouldn't have, and we didn't get paid. That didn't happen. There's no one saying he inflated the worth of his assets, and we lent him all this money we otherwise wouldn't have, and now the payments are late. That didn't happen. There are no victims.
When you're right, you're right.
The only
you're
thing we
right.
Have, the only thing we have in New York is a prosecutor who ran on throwing the guy in jail, and she's, to her credit, I guess, following through on the campaign promise. But it's an absurd prosecution. You know, when you start to talk about, well, he mishandled classified information, Jimmy. Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's not the first high-ranking government official to mishandle classified information.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
Okay, and understand, though, when we have that conversation, they go, yeah, but it was different because she cooperated with the invet.
Wrong.
No, she didn't. She destroyed 33,000 emails. Bleach bit a server and destroyed her BlackBerries with a hammer. That's her level of cooperation.
This is ridiculous.
Exactly. When they say to you, like, oh, you don't understand, but she cooperated. No, she didn't. She destroyed it. She got rid of it. So they couldn't find it. Now, to be clear, a forensic analysis could go in there and find anything they wanted. That's why we have the Hunter Biden laptop story that we do. They were able to dump the contents of the laptop and see a lot of things. I got to be honest, you don't want to see. I mean, man, Hunter Biden's laptop. I've seen so much male genitalia. I feel like I'm on a women's swim team right now. But that's what you're dealing with in a moment right now. It's a monster, just a monster double standard. But when Manchin gets out there and says he wants to run again, yeah, he wants to run again. He doesn't think Biden can win. He's not actually scared that, oh, I'm scared that Trump will win. No. He's scared that maybe he won't win. He's scared that maybe because he can't win his Senate election, his access to the gravy train of lobbyist money and the lifestyle of someone who's in the upper echelons of government will dissipate. So what he's scared of maybe is losing that level of access. So, yes, he wants to run for president. But it's not because he cares about you. It's always a situation where it's an exercise in his own self-preservation or self-fulfillment. And that's pretty much anyone who runs for president. Okay, including Nikki Haley. Here was her reaction, okay, to Biden meeting with Xi Jinping. This is clip 8.
I would ask him why he's putting a military base off our shores in Cuba. I would ask him why he continues to murder Americans by sending over fentanyl. I'd ask him why he's stealing our intellectual property and not owning up to it. I would ask him why he's buying so much U.S. soil and it's next to military installations. What they're going to come out is an agreement on the environment.
All right, so there you go. And think about that. All of those things she just said are true. The fentanyl, them stealing our intellectual property, the farmland. And what we're getting is an agreement on the environment.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Do you understand? This is what the Democrats have become. Okay. Guys, from time to time, have been known to have one-track minds. Okay, you're dating with a woman, you're living with a woman. You've decided that when she gets home from work today, you're going to do a certain something in the bedroom.
Oh, yes, I've read about that in the Bible.
And that's where your head's at. That's your plan, okay? And you're so committed to your plan that you're not really listening to the circumstances that ensue when she comes through the door. So the door swings open and she's soaked like a cat that just got a bath because it's pouring. She's got a broken heel in her hand. She's got a headache. Where's the ibuprofen? And you go, I know what you need. And I got to be honest with you, it ain't what she needs right then and there.
He knows what he's talking about.
Okay, but that's who the Democrats are with climate change. The electorate is looking out and going, the economy's bad. The streets aren't safe. The border's overrun. We're sending all our money to Ukraine and we don't have any here. And the Democrats are going, I know what you need. Well, climate change. And that's what we did yesterday with our biggest geopolitical foe in the world, China. Okay, we sat down and said, hey, do you mind pretending we can control the weather? Can we make some kind of deal? We're going to manufacture more green vehicles. You know, the ones that you guys own 96% of the precious rare earth minerals to power. Okay, green energy only boosts China. Only boosts China. And it's not powered, okay, by the sun. It's not powered by the wind. It's not powered by the water. It's powered by fossil fuels. Your electric car gets plugged into the electric grid. And that electric grid is not powered by the sun. You understand? And that's a good thing because we all like Annie, but she was a terrible weather person in that the sun will not always come out tomorrow. It won't. Okay, it's going to be rainy days and cloudy days and everything in between. So when you get out there with your biggest geopolitical foe where there really are matters of grave consequence, fentanyl is, you know, killing a record level of Americans. And they're not overdosing on drugs. They're dying from poison. You take an Adderall thinking it's going to help you write a term paper, find out there's fentanyl in it, you drop dead. These are not aggressive, problematic drug users. These are people taking a recreational amount of drugs and just dying. That's a problem that only exists because of China. That's a thing you tackle. Okay, them stealing $1 billion worth of our intellectual copyrights a year? Yeah, that's a thing you tackle. Okay, if you want to pretend we care about oppression and human rights, then maybe you do kind of hone in on the fact that the UN Human Rights Council considers them guilty of crimes against humanity was the actual official tagline, crimes against humanity, for what they're doing in the Uyghur province, with the Uyghur Muslims in the Hubei province. Okay, so you understand, there are things, as Nikki Haley articulated, that you should probably talk about. When you come out and say, well, you know, we did a thing about the, you know, the climate. We went in and we did a thing on the climate. I mean, I got to be honest, that's like...
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
Worst thing I've ever heard, okay? Because it's not what we need. Okay, but that's the one-track mind of the Democratic Party. But understand, when it comes to climate change, just so you get it, okay, nobody cares. I don't doubt there's people out there in a Prius hanging out, some chick with a mohawk and a Subaru with a coexist sticker that would light you on fire if you disagreed with any of her political positions. I don't doubt that they're out there. You know, the hate has no home here people who would gun you down with a firing squad if you disagreed with a single political point they made. But hate has no home here. But the point is, when you look out at the world right now, okay, the only appetite for climate change is forced on us by the government. Okay, that's what you're dealing with. The biggest climate bill in the history of this country was called the Inflation Reduction Act. Why? Because they didn't have the votes to pass a climate bill. So they Trojan horsed it through the guise of inflation reduction, which is something we all wanted to see happen. Unfortunately, it hasn't. And that's the moment we're living in right now. We've got a guy at home with a one-track mind, but his track ain't ours.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
The show that sees through the bullshit.
My response is right, you know, and the stripper really likes you.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
We were trying to find a song that could match the swag of our next guest, but there simply just isn't one out there.
And you went with George Michael?
No, we gave up. Okay,
oh, clearly,
if you can
that's
see
a give up move.
Who is standing next to me and how she's adorned, joining us now. apparently, no, for real. This is.
You make me sound like a Christmas tree.
No, it's a look. You look rad. The queen of daytime in the house.
Look at that. They're shooting
shimmying
video.
And shaking.
I am talking about
Paris Faulkner on Fox Across America down here at the Grand Ole Opry House. And the crowd goes wild. You look great.
Oh, thank you.
I
only need one microphone.
You know, we're fashion friends. You know, we always talk fashion.
One of
my favorite things I cherish the most about doing TV with you, it's not when we're on. It's that minute and a half before we're on and we're just sitting on set like, I got these boots the other day.
I know.
We're talking about fashion. But
it's so true.
I love the idea of having a big event to glam up for.
I do too.
I know. Clearly. Okay, but this works. It really works. So how would you describe this look? And then we'll get into the serious stuff.
This is very Nashville.
Okay.
It's rhinestones. I'm dripping in rhinestone fringe on a green silk suit. Pantsuit,
uh-huh.
And when I walk, the fringe moves. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's always the case.
That's how it goes down.
You know what I'm talking about. No, I'm just kidding. Harris, where are you going?
No, no.
Anyway, it's kind of a wide leg at the bottom, mm-hmm. and I have on my 6-inch silver Tom Fords.
Yeah, you do.
And I try to walk with purpose. You know what I'm saying?
This is the closest I would get to working an Oscars red carpet. That's why you're the only one who can be interviewed this way.
Oh, no.
Because no one, they don't get what I'm going for. Anybody else, I'm like, so what are you wearing? How would you describe it? They're like, it's pants and a shirt. I'm like, no, that's not what I was going for.
Well, it's a jacket with pockets. I had them clip it, so I don't want to cut the line with the camisole. Women will know what I'm talking about. Guys will just say, give me another beer. So it kind of gives me a waist, and I can. And when can I wear rhinestone fringe on the news? Like, only in Nashville can I do that.
Thank you. No, you got it done. Harris Faulkner, the Queen
Thank
of Daytime,
you.
Is here. She's
now,
doing
what are you wearing
Queen
tonight?
Queen of Daytime stuff.
Because you look sharp last year. Watch out
now.
We're
coming back. You don't worry about nothing. So I got a velvet tuxedo jacket, like a rhinestone silver lapel.
Ooh,
it'll match you.
Silver
shoes. Oddly enough, it's funny. We don't coordinate.
No, but
we
always
wind up showing up to events.
We always are in the group
because our head's in the same place.
Yeah,
it's an energy. It's
together.
Creative energy.
No, it's so true. And you're on stage tonight.
Yeah.
Being
I'll open this show, and before we hand it off to handsome Pete Hegseth. Because we're here to honor, like, actual heroes. You know what I mean? But
handsome Pete Hegseth.
He's a cable news super hunk.
Well, what are you?
Listen, I'm not going to tell you I don't have my fans. And a lot of these guys are passionate. No, I'm kidding. A lot of these
people. Yeah, I saw one
really
of them escorted out by the SWAT just a minute ago.
That guy out of here. He was getting a little handsy.
That's not where I'm at.
I know. I'm being silly. But we're talking about restoring order, because something you mentioned off the air. Give me 2 serious minutes. We had riots last night.
Yeah, I know we did.
This is crazy.
During the live Faulkner Focus from here, mm-hmm. from the Grand Ole Opry House, the Bay Bridge in San Francisco was shut down by anti-Israel protesters. And I get serious about that because mm-hmm. we don't know what kind of heads up they get. I don't know. Do you get a permit to disrupt traffic for hours?
That's infuriating.
And shout hate and everything mm-hmm. else. Some of them were yelling ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas terrorist war, mm-hmm. but some of them weren't. Mm-hmm. So we took a little of that audio for a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. But SWAT-geared cops showed up. And the reason that they do that is because of what happened at the Capitol last night. Mm-hmm. It isn't, everybody is going to riot. It is some people will emulate this, and this is so close to last night, mm-hmm. and it might have been a pop-up as far as we know. And do the math on that. I mean, it's 2 hours earlier than we are here in Nashville, 3 hours earlier than the East Coast. It was 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with that? What's going on?
As riots go, who's even scheduling the, I mean.
Right in the middle of rush hour traffic for
horrific.
People trying to get to work. So they were ready, and it is really a testament to what authorities are now having, and it's a sad one, to what they're having to learn to get ready for potentially what could be. But what we saw at the DNC building last night, they're targeting mm-hmm. Democrats.
Yeah.
And I had on a Democrat who was huddled, mm-hmm. Representative Sherman.
Wow.
And he said, they're coming for us because they're not, they don't like what they see. They don't like the fact that we support Israel the way mm-hmm. we do and blah, 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 blah. And I thought, only those protesters, rioters, whatever they want to call themselves, we know what they did last night. They mm-hmm. hurt cops.
Yep.
Whatever, I call them violent rioters.
Fair.
There's no other kind. I do not call the people who showed up last night protesters. But only they could bring Republicans and Democrats together.
Yeah.
In such a way that
– there's a course correction coming because
I think so too.
I think most people in this country are reasonable people who realize we're losing control of the room. You know, this administration, it reminds me a lot of when you're a school kid, there was that one substitute teacher that we knew a minute into class had no control of the classroom and the bad kids were going to act up.
Were you one
and
of
that's
those?
The world. I was decent. I was actually good to those subs. Like, I'd make fun of them, but I made them feel cared
that's
about.
A fail. I
that's
know.
My job, Harris.
Fail
come on.
With a heart,
a
baby.
A force multiplier of positive energy.
I'm worried though, because it's, mm-hmm. it's a group of people in this country that are so young.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Impressionable.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they believe what they're saying,
I don't know that they do. I think
supporting terrorists decapitating children.
Horrific.
But we'd better watch out mm-hmm. because as they get older mm-hmm. in the next few months and they get accustomed to not being arrested necessarily, mm-hmm. They only picked up one person.
Yeah, no, that's
you and I could identify 50 people from what aired on TV. So then Griff Jenkins, our reporter, I asked him on air, I said, why'd they only arrest on person? He goes, that's a really great question, Harris. Well, so we reached out to Capitol Police and other authorities there, and they said, when we asked them, you only arrested one person. Why? The email response was correct.
Oh, stop it.
I'm like, well
we're celebrating tonight, going on. And we're celebrating the people who are going to save this
country. You want to wear my suit?
It's a done deal. We'll talk out after.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Buy some tickets, gas up the Volkswagen bus. Still a handful of them left if you want to come down to Nashville to tonight's Patriot Awards. FoxNews.com/Patriot Awards. If you want to see me in action tonight opening up the show, it is Fox Across America, and we are at the Grand Ole Opry House down here in Nashville. I'm one and done. I got one night in Nashville because they don't expect me to survive if I stay a second night. Every time I'm here, if you've seen me host New Year's Eve down here the last couple of years, they fly you in day of, they fly you out morning after. It's that second night of Nashville where the problems actually start out here.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
But no problems during this final hour of the show. It's your radio buddy. We're going to be joined by a couple of my Fox pals. And we're going to have a grown-up talk about all things America, because that's what we do on the show. On a big Thursday, tomorrow you will find me in Naples, Florida. And we talk about a handful of seats. They did a phenomenal job at the Off the Hook Comedy Club down in Naples. If you want to see me tomorrow or Friday, I am doing two shows both nights. There are a handful of seats left for the late shows. Handful. First, the early shows are sold out. The late shows will probably sell out by the end of the day, if not lunchtime tomorrow. And I'm flattered to say that. That means a lot. Come on, Naples. You sure know how to make a girl feel special. So thanks for coming out to hang with your radio buddy. But if you want to be a part of that, it is the Off the Hook Comedy Club down in Naples. Make that move sooner than later would be my advice. And, of course, I'm going to meet all of you, and we're going to take selfies and do fist bumps. And, you know, knowing my opening act, you'll probably do some shots as well. But I'll be down there tomorrow. Right now, I am here with you on the radio. Let's have this talk. So TikTok is a plague on humanity. And I know it does a lot of cute stuff, but that's the point of TikTok. It's like, oh, look at this cat video. Oh, look, they got this dog dressed up as a pirate. Hey, this guy does play-by-play like a sports announcer when two mice are running on a hamster wheel. Hilarious. And it is. It's funny. But the job of social media is to keep you glued to your phone so it can sell you advertising. That's the job of your iPhone, is to keep you locked up in a world where you can endlessly be scrolling through ads to see the content you want to see. That's why there's so much confirmation bias in your social media. The algorithm figures out what you like, what you click like on. It figures out what you're into and then shows you an endless litany that reinforces your belief system, at which point you feel eternally validated and you walk down the street every day of the week being like, I'm a genius.
He knows what he's talking about.
Okay, that's the job of the phone. But when it comes to individual apps, there are individual motivations. Okay, and those individual motivations, when it came to, like, let's say the 2020 election, their motivation was to help the Democrats win. So what did they do? They went out and killed the Hunter Biden laptop story because you couldn't share it, because they thought that would be an actual problem to Biden's electoral prospects. So they just decided to flat out get rid of the Hunter Biden laptop. And that was the motivation of TikTok. And the media helped them do that along the way at places like the New York Times, you know, the Washington Post, and all the big legacy media outlets that were like, no, can't share it. It's a threat to democracy. It's not safe.
The media is a bunch of losers.
They really are. Okay, but you understand they had a motivation. When it comes to TikTok, they have a motivation. TikTok is owned by the Chinese Communist Party. And in between all of those dog videos and healthy macaroni and cheese recipes that people are cooking, and of course the influencers, that's my favorite thing about TikTok and Instagram. It's a glorified way for a lot of guys to hide their perversions. They're like, yeah, I'm into cooking now because I keep getting these good recipes from like this naked chick who cooks in a thong, and it's just like I'm learning all about. Like I made a roux the other night. I'm like, yeah, you did in a tube sock.
What the hell did you just say?
The point is, okay, a lot of guys are just watching naked women on Instagram and TikTok and coming away from it feeling like they're doing something enlightened. No, she's a fitness model, bro. She gets up and does the naked handstands. I'm learning about planking. Yeah, I don't doubt that you're growing a plank from watching this. But the reality is that app has a motivation in between selling you advertising. TikTok, which is run by the Chinese Communist Party, is actually inundating young kids with Chinese propaganda.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people don't notice it, but that's the goal. It's not about the cat video or the dog video. It's about that cursory interaction you have with a worldview that's beneficial to the Chinese government, that's beneficial to the worldview and the mindset they're hoping you will adapt. And sadly, right now, we're living in a moment where young voters, okay, are now reacting in viral fashion. This is crazy. Like, you're not ready for this. But young voters are now reacting in viral fashion in a energy of praise to Osama bin Laden. Okay, let me read you this. TikTok influencer went viral this week for promoting Osama bin Laden's letter to America. And that's basically the letter where bin Laden explains why he attacked America. Okay. Well, this guy posted, and it's been seen, we're talking 640,000 times, 175,000 times. Okay, so between this, I'm just doing some community college math. This is a video with a few million views already. But an online personality urged her followers to read the words of Osama bin Laden. I need everyone to stop what they're doing right now and go read. It's literally two pages. Go read A Letter to America. And please come back here and just let me know what you think, because I feel like I'm going through like an existential crisis right now. And a lot of people are, so I just need someone else to be feeling this. So this is a TikToker telling people to go read the Osama bin Laden letter to why he attacked America. And now, lo and behold, we got a few million people on TikTok that are seeing it bin Laden's way. Okay, that's what you're dealing with.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Straight up. But you understand. That's the danger of an app like that. You go, oh, dude, I'm just watching cat videos and fitness models. This guy's got his dog dressed up as the Backstreet Boys. They're like the Bark Street Boys. They're dancing in his living room. It's great. And then I clicked like on some video that said, from the river to the sea, we'll kill all the Jewish people. And you don't even feel yourself doing it. You know the old analogy about the water's boiling and the frog doesn't even realize it's happening? That's TikTok's job. It's owned by the Chinese Communist Party, and it's boiling the water here in America without anyone realizing it's even happening because you're too busy looking at your fitness models and everything in between. So I'm telling you this straight up. Like, the idea that Osama bin Laden had any grounds whatsoever to do what he did to 2,100 innocent Americans on September 11th is something we knew to be preposterous on September 11th. No one in the world looked at the carnage in America and went, yeah, but... You know, however, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, it's like when you're in a conversation and someone goes, listen, I got nothing against black people. However, okay, you know that however is about to be the most offensive thing you've ever heard in your life.
I agree with that.
Yeah, no, nothing. I got nothing against gay people. But, okay, brace yourself because there's something coming down the pipe, but it's not polite. Okay, when you start a yeah, but scenario to terrorism, you realize you're dealing with broken people. They're broken people, and they're broken because of these apps. Now, there's no bigger free speech advocate than me, but the danger being posed by social media and their algorithms is that they can amplify the content they want people to see. Social media is not organic in the sense that we all post videos and the cream rises to the top. Social media is curated by the people who run these tech companies, all of whom either have a content preference or a personal agenda politically, and they program their algorithm to amplify things that's going to leave the collective psychology of their viewers feeling the way they want them to. That's the point of TikTok. So TikTok right now understands that division is the most beneficial thing that can happen for the Chinese government here in America. And you damn well better believe they're creating lots of it. Okay, you've got a great percentage of their users saying that Hamas and the terrorists are justified. Okay, yes, there are people out there that are standing up for Israel and pushing back against the anti-Semitism, but ultimately the end result of that is a lot of division, and that's TikTok's goal. Nobody can take us one-on-one. That's the problem the world has. If you want to overthrow America, you want to knock us out of the top rankings, you can't get in the ring with us and win the fight. So what they're trying to do is have us beat ourselves. That's why these protests that are all over the country, like, your enemies love that. And again, I'm not trying to deny anybody their free speech rights. But when you're shutting down the Bay Bridge, Okay, you're attacking the Capitol or installations, the DNC headquarters in D.C., and you're throwing bricks and rocks at cops and stuff like that. Okay, China loves that. That's a win. That's a win for everybody who hates us and wants to supplant us on the world stage because it's us defeating ourselves. That's why I get on the radio every day and I'm like, yo, girlfriend, listen, guys, I know I went to like half a community college and majored in intro to Xbox, but like I actually get it. Like, I'm not smart. I'm not very mildly educated. I don't sit here and tell you I'm a be-all, end-all or know-all in any sense of the word, but I get what's going on because I drove a taxi a long time, and you get to understand the world because when you drive a cab, you see society from an angle that a proctologist sees a patient from. But it's true. You see where our interests are. You see how we get motivated. You see how we get divided. You see how we get provoked, and you come to understand. You know, it's almost like you're standing behind a magician. You know, if you're watching a magic show, you see some sleight of hand and you don't know where the rabbit went or how he guessed your card. But if you were standing behind the magician, you'd be like, dude, really? He's fitting a rabbit in his back pocket? You know, wow, really? So every card in the deck was a jack of clubs? Wow. You know what I'm saying? I kind of have that perspective on society. And TikTok, I'm telling you this because I care, is absolutely positively there to manipulate us. And to do so in a manner that advances propaganda that benefits our enemies to have us believe. When you hear people saying, yeah, but, when it comes to Osama bin Laden, when you hear people saying, yeah, but, when it comes to Hamas terrorists, you realize those are broken people, and they're being broken by a lot of the propaganda they consume online. Because what the internet is ultimately becoming is it's an avatar, okay? Who people are when they walk down the street is irrelevant to them. It's what character can they convince the rest of the world on the internet do I happen to be? So I'm going to put these flags in my bio, these pronouns, these political interests. I'm going to retweet these things. And I want to build this avatar that makes everybody think I'm this virtuous, you know, benevolent soul. Okay, that's what the internet's giving everybody the opportunity to do. It's a Mr. Potato Head. Okay, and you get to attach parts to it that you think will make your potato head a more attractive character on a social scale. But a lot of the things that make you attractive on a social scale digitally don't translate in the real world. So you might be cool for being like, I'm standing up for Hamas. And on the phone, all right, yay. Okay, but in the real world, Hamas ain't cool, boo. Okay, and the things they're doing are unspeakably bad. They're not justified. They're crimes against humanity. So is it time to limit people's speech rights on TikTok? No, I wouldn't say that to you because I'm not a fan of that sort of thing. Okay, but there needs to be a reckoning in terms of what we're amplifying and what we're reacting to and how we're having the conversations. Because these people believe what they believe. And you're not going to change their minds just by being like, look, you're wrong. Okay, I know that's how social media works. But in the history of social media, no one has ever conceded defeat. You dig? No one ever goes, ah, you got me. I see it your way now. No one changes their mind. Social media is there because it's incentivized conflict. It is a fight club for people who don't want to get hit. That's what it is. So a lot of the shenanigans they're pulling right now, sadly, okay, in a fight club for people who don't want to get hit, are leading in the real world to more people getting hit. And that's why this ultimately needs to be cleaned up in the end.
You're absolutely right.
You're listening to the best dad on the radio.
Can't believe you forgot my birthday.
You're with Jimmy Fallon on Fox Across America.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon, broadcasting from the beautiful Grand Ole Opry House down here in Nashville, Tennessee. And I will tell you right now, okay, we're going to have cable news super hunk Sean Duffy here with us in a little while. There's rumors of a Rachel Campos Duffy sighting as well. But right now it is you and me, boo, doing the damn thing on the radio. And I was talking about TikTok before we went to break because TikTok is it's weird, but it's like a Trojan horse plague on society in that the Chinese Communist Party owns it. For all intents and purposes, they're using it to steal your data, your biometric data. They're giving you a lot of entertainment. It's just people out there trying to become influencers that are generating content that people find interesting. But that content is not there to entertain you. It's there to distract you while they steal your information and they sell you ads. So it's actually not a good thing. And to be clear, there's bad speech on every app. And I always say, you know, the best anecdote to bad speech is more speech. And, you know, I'm always very comfortable in the arena of ideas. But what we're trying to highlight, like what I was trying to say to people, just so everybody gets it, is when you get an app that's motivation is not necessarily the motivation of a political party in this country. Like TikTok does not have the motivation of the Democratic Party. And that's dangerous enough. Like the way Twitter and Facebook interfered in the 2020 election, like that was election interference. When they kill a story that's problematic to one candidate in the days leading up to the election, okay, that is interference.
Correct the mundo.
Okay, because it shields information from the conversation, information that could ultimately change the way people perceive the candidates. So that's definitely pass interference that the refs just let go, okay, straight up. But you understand that's problematic enough because it's one political party trying to gain power through, you know, some shady gray area questionable means. But what's going on TikTok is not the Republicans gaming the system or the Democrats gaming the system. It's an entirely different country gaming our system. That's why it's dangerous. Okay, anybody who tells you, okay, that Osama bin Laden had a point is out of their mind. Okay, and I'm talking about the terrorist Osama bin Laden, not I drove with three cab drivers named Osama bin Laden, none of whom ever hijacked a plane or killed anybody. They were nice enough guys, although you wanted to die if you smelled them. But stick with me. We're having a conversation here. This TikTok user posted this letter online. Okay, got 640,000 views despite having only 1,300 followers. 640,000 views in an account with 1,300 followers. Now, that's only possible if other bigger accounts come along and retweet it, number one, or the app just goes out and amplifies the content.
Oh, wow!
And that's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't have 1,300 followers and get 640,000 views unless other accounts pick it up because it's being amplified. Okay, if you have 1,300 followers, okay, odds are you're not being followed by people who have millions of followers. If you have 1,300 followers, your odds are you're not being followed by people who have a 500,000 followers. Okay, you're not. That's just the way it works. Your content interacts with the limited reach of your audience. Okay, so it means bigger audiences had to get their eyes on the content, and that doesn't happen organically on these apps. So if everybody on TikTok, which is owned by the Chinese Communist Party, is spreading the type of propaganda that divides the country and endangers us all, in order for them to get their hands on that kind of content, TikTok has to want them to get their hands on that type of content. But what we're about to do in the next couple of breaks is be joined by a Fox talent that everyone's trying to get their hands on. I mean, it's extra security for this guy because he's that good looking. And we're going to have a grown-up talk with him when we come back because it's the Patriot Awards, and that's what you do. You corral foxes, foxes. You bring them into the den, and you have a little State of the Union about all things Nash Vegas, and that is exactly what we're going to do. So buckle up, Buttercup. We got a big one coming our way after this on the big, bad, one and only, high-flying, death-defying, gluten-free, keto-approved Fox Across America. There it is. Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Fallon. We're doing the dang thing down here at the Old Opry House in Nashville, Tennessee. It is the Patriot Awards. That's happening tonight. Hey, girl. And we're working on cable news super hunk Sean Duffy. He's out right now. They're beating the paparazzi off him. And then I'm going to be heading over after this show to do the local show on WKIM. My homies, Ditch and the gang, we're going over there. We're going to go do it. And, you know how this works. We're right now hanging out in a little radio action, smiling for the cameras. It's a lot of cameras, the thing about the Patriot Awards. It's a very passionate group of people. They're fabulous, fabulous Americans. And you never know when they're going to walk into your radio studio and just point a camera at you. So you try to stop talking and, like, look at the camera and give them, like, a smile so you don't wind up the guy in that picture where your mouth's open sideways and it looks like you have, like, ice cream on your tongue. Look like a kid with a frozen face. But anyway, We're here. You're there. And we're about to be joined by the great Sean Duffy. But right now, I'm going to play a little audio, a little something, like I'm a DJ, like I'm spinning the hits over here. You know, there's a lot going on. Here is, this is so funny. This is kind of where I started the show. Okay, Laura Ingraham, who I was just talking to in the hallway. We look like a figure skating duo because our outfits kind of complement each other. I look like, you know, at the end of the routine, you'd hold the girl up at the end and, you know, we'd win like a bronze medal. Like, we have gold medal talent. I don't doubt she could get us to the gold, okay? But I'm not about to tell you it's because of me. But here is that TikTok video I wanted to play you that we were talking about when it comes to Bin Laden, clip 24.
Girl, what? They found the letter.
What letter?
The letter.
What letter?
Osama's letter. So I just read A Letter to America, and I will never look at life the same.
I feel like I'm going through like an existential crisis right now.
So this is a really good example of narrative control.
I mean,
what would you do with a brain if you had one?
I just read a letter, and I will never look at life the same. That's what she said.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
Okay, they're talking about, just so you get it, this is Osama bin Laden's letter to America. Okay, if you go read this letter to America, it's him explaining, okay, why he attacked us. Okay, I'm telling you, there's no version of this letter that you read and go, oh, yeah, no, you could hijack a plane and kill 2,100 people. Do you understand? Anytime you're killing people, okay, I understand that war is going to be war. Anytime you're killing people who have nothing to do with, they're just going to get a coffee, okay? That's not war. That's like murder. That's like terrorism. That's like not a good thing. So the fact that people find a justification for that, I just read a letter on TikTok, and now, like, I look at the world differently because, like, I read a letter on TikTok.
Have you ever had a checkup?
But you understand, that's kind of letter that's getting amplified. Okay? It's getting amplified because they want people to see it so they can get the dumb, gullible people who vote their emotions to lean in. Because we're living in an era, that's the problem, where, like, people's emotions are their facts. If they feel that way, then that is how they're going to converse with you. I feel like, you know, this Bin Laden thing is a little bit nuanced. Okay, I got to be honest with you. It's not nuanced. Not even a little. Not even kind of. Not even the slightest. Okay? But what we're dealing with when it comes to TikTok and apps like this and, like, just the reductive nature of this whole identity politics thing is people want to feel good about themselves. They want to feel like, you know, I represent some type of greater good. I'm making progress in the world. So they latch on to causes like this because they think it makes them and their brand like, this is cool. It's like this niche thing. We're like pro Bin Laden. I promise you it's not cool. I promise you it's not good. Okay, and I know most of the people listening to this know that. But the idea that we're living in a world, okay, where there are a lot of people who don't, I get it's troublesome. And that's why you got to keep calling it out.
You got some big testicles to pull this off, bro.
You damn right I do. Okay, but the problem is more and more of our discourse is happening through these channels. It's not like people talk and like, yeah, I agree to disagree. These channels reward absolutism. So it's like you agree with me or you're a terrorist. You know, you agree with me or you're a racist white supremacist. And that's the problem. Is the reductive language of this stuff makes it impossible to have a conversation. Because people aren't looking to have a conversation, they're looking to have a victory. Meaning, I want to say something to you in a way that so many people will like that I'll feel cool. You know, that I'll get, you know, a little more focus, if that makes sense. And I think that's the biggest challenge of right now, is that people are kind of operating with a broken compass. And it shouldn't take a dude who, you know, plays video games in his 40s to be correcting the record. But that's the country you're living in right now. And that's not a good thing. So I'm going to bring in a true patriot in the next break, and we're going to have a grown-up conversation about all things America. Wrap it up on a positive note. It's got, you know, we took a little serious turn here, you know, in this last break. We're, you know, down here in Memphis or Tennessee, Nashville. I'm a mess. Juggling, doing card tricks, riding a unicycle. You know, it's been great. And now you dragged me into this TikTok thing. I'm ready to punch somebody in the face.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
We need to restore order. We will bring in a party clown to do exactly that when we come back on Fox Across America.
A show so good, people don't know what to think.
This feels weird. Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun, though, isn't it?
Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, coming to you live from the Grand Ole Opry House in Nashville, Tennessee. They're playing the Rocky IV soundtrack. They're playing There's No Easy Way Out, but there is if you've got my next guest at your side. Okay, he is a cable news super hunk. He is a Fox Business host on The Bottom Line. You can watch every night at 6 o'clock Eastern, which would be 5 o'clock down here. But right now, Sean Duffy is not on TV. He is on the radio with me, and the crowd goes wild. Hey, girl.
Whoa. So, Jimmy, I came by here a little while ago, and I'm like, what kind of setup does Jimmy have? So you're at like a, you know, if you're at a cocktail party. You're at a cocktail party table, which I love. You got a mirror behind the camera so you can see yourself throughout the show. Uh-huh. You got a little snack bar. Like, this is – you got it going on, man. This
it's
is
a
great.
Nice, it's a nice, swanky setup. What they do at the Patriot Awards, as you know, it's a very first-class production, and we're at, like, a nice facility. But radio, if you've noticed, like, we're kind of down the hall here.
In the corner a little
bit. Yeah, we're kind of – we're in the corner. Because I think, you know, radio, we have a reputation of, like, we're going to go rogue. One of us is going to streak through the meet and greet or something like that. So I kind of noticed that we were strategically placed here. Like, everybody else is just placed, you know, there's the big stage. There's the Grand Ole Opry. Thought went into this. And it wasn't flattering thought. That's
well,
the
no, I thought
it looks great on TV.
Well, I thought, is it a closet? No, you're like, you got out of the closet, like, into a room, which is great. No, so listen, we're talking about the Patriot Awards, which, by the way, is like an amazing event from, you know, celebrating America and the patriots that give us our freedom and our liberty, those that have served that are, you know, fighting the battles in even different ways today, whether it's in education and other things. Mm-hmm. Hannity, Laura Ingraham, you know, big stars like yourself. And one of the things I look forward to every year, Jimmy, is what is Jimmy Failla going to wear?
Are you going to see something?
Because you know, Florida brings out a certain, you know, style on Jimmy Failla. But you come to Nashville, and I can't wait to see, like, the rhinestones and the cowboy boots and, like, the glittery cowboy hat. Like, this is what I'm looking forward to. It's not about the awards. It's not about the good people.
Yeah.
It's about what are you going to wear.
Yep. And I will tell you this, and this might be a lot for the audience. I will not be in cowboy boots. I'm in them right now. I will, of all the things.
Okay, well, stop it. Stop
of
it.
All
stop
the
it.
Things
no, stop
you're
it.
Supposed to wear, I will not be in cowboy
Why not?
Boots tonight. Because I got my own look, man. I got my own vibe. You know, I'm wearing cowboy boots right now.
But so. Your look is cowboy boots and, like,
but
big rhinestones.
I'll be wearing that for, like, the meet and greets.
Are you going to wear your Elvis platform shoes?
Yeah. You're going to see something funky. That's what
okay.
I'm saying. I'm going to give you some swag.
All right.
I get it. People are concerned. You know what's funny? Like, I don't realize this because I'm just who I am. But every room I've walked into today, people actually, like, look at your clothes and look at your feet. Like, there's an expectation. And I'm not even mindful of it. Like, I dress that way without realizing, like, it's a thing. It's just what
but
I do.
But it is.
Walking around here today is the actual day I realized, like, it's a thing even off the air. And I didn't know that.
That you don't even try to make a thing is just Jimmy.
That's just who you are,
It's
man.
What you put on your feet. But you're now, like, people love what I put on my feet.
But now
and I can't imagine, like, I, you know, Jenny Failla must have a you know, a closet for her shoes. I can't imagine the size of your closet for your shoes. The variations, the cowboy boots, the platform shoes.
I let her
the
get
running
a,
shoes.
I like let the, her get a few pairs in there. It's like one of those houses where the wife doesn't have any closet space. She's like, I can just get a shoe.
10 pairs for Jimmy, one for Jenny. Ten pairs for Jimmy, one for Jenny.
That's a thing. So
or maybe you put them down in Lincoln's room. Who knows? But it's going to be fun tonight. It's going to be a great event.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing a stand-up act?
Stand up before Pete comes on, so I warm up the crowd, hand it off to Pete, and then I head to a bar. No, I'll be there. I'll be hanging out.
No, I'm on your show, and I appreciate you bringing me on. And I'm not saying this because I'm on your show. One of the best parts of last year's Patriot Awards, which was my first, I had never been. This was my first one. Was your stand up act, and I'd never seen you do it.
Oh, wow.
So I hadn't seen any video. So I watched you do it, and you cleaned up.
Okay,
it was awesome.
Thanks, brother.
It was fantastic. I'm like, actually, Jimmy's funny. Jimmy's actually pretty good at this.
I just thought he was selling drugs to the Fox talent to get on. I didn't realize he sells them drugs and has the
jokes. I thought he was just a poser, but no, actually, he's good at this.
Weep, Duffy.
In all honesty, it was great. I'm looking forward to that tonight as well to see the comedy. Now, but just quickly, is that going to make the cut for Fox Nation, or do you got to be in person to see it?
I hope not. No, you got to be in person for that. Like, okay. I am a treat to the live audience, the people who bought the tickets and came out.
So those those who haven't aren't coming next year, they should know that if you want to see Jimmy, you can't get that on Nation. You got to actually be here live.
Yes.
Get your tickets.
Where they'll see my special drop is going to drop on Fox Nation January 8th.
Oh.
And they'll see me in action. And they'll see an hour of the hits. You know, the varsity. What you're getting tonight is a Nashville State of the Union.
Okay, so this is like the appetizer, the little appetizer that people will taste tonight with Jimmy Failla. If they want to get the whole thing, razzle dazzle.
What do they say? You sell the sizzle, not the steak.
That's right.
Thank you. Well, tonight we're just going to hit him with the frying pan.
I like
right out of the gate. So, frying prison rules.
Would you tell me one other thing? So you're in Nashville. Obviously, it's not the most liberal city in America. It's a fairly conservative state. A lot of people come here to see music and go to the bars, the strip.
Yep.
So as you walk around Nashville, how much Jimmy Failla fangirl in do you get?
I don't want to say I was stunned because I've been here before. But last night, every human being on Broadway, it wasn't crowded because it was Wednesday, every human being on Broadway watched something I do. And it was like hilarious. Because if you're going to meet a person that you think is cool on TV, you want to meet me because I'm like friendly as hell and I'll hang out with you. We'll take pictures. So what happened to me last night, you'll really appreciate this, is made a lot of friends because I went into boot stores and that's where this started. I was in boot stores last night. And the minute I walked in, some guy was like, oh, shit, like that. You know what I mean? I know you. I watch your stuff. Oh, my God. You go buy a pair of boots? I actually didn't. I felt bad. I didn't buy boots. I'm like, no, I'm going to order them online and ship them back because I'm going to Naples. I can't get boots. I didn't find a pair particularly I liked. I didn't have a lot of time. But I was just walking around to soak it up. But there was a lot to soak up. But this is where it gets good because I'm the nicest person I know, unfortunately. Like, I need I need to evolve
you
just
a nice
little.
No.
No, but I need to evolve, like, just a little. Because, like, I'll tell you, last night I walked down to the convenience store, and now I was walking back to my hotel on a street where there's no one on it.
Right.
So I'm running into people on the street now. I run into a couple, and I wind up talking to them for 25 minutes because we're the only ones on the street. You can't just take a picture and shove them out of the way and keep going. There's nowhere to go. So my walk to the convenience store and back last night was an hour and 40 minutes because I'm so nice that I was like, I was so far behind on where I needed to be in terms of prepping today's show that I just did it the normal way, which was not to prep it.
Well, I love that because, you know what, I think cab drivers and politicians have a lot in common.
Yes.
Because it's the same. Like, people want to sit and chat. Like, I love talking to people.
Yeah, me too.
And
so I don't feel
maybe it comes from politics. You're in a cab. You're like, you know what? It's an honor that someone wants to.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
They'll recognize you in Nashville.
Yeah,
go, hey, I want to chat. What a letdown if you go, like, this person seems really cool and nice and smart that you see on TV, and you meet them and they're a jerk. Like, I hate that. It's like, if I think you're a jerk on TV, you know, and you're a jerk in person, like, that's okay. But the nice guys on TV, it's like really cool when you go, like, actually, they're just as nice in person.
Yeah, yeah, actually,
which is the Jimmy Failla story.
Oh,
which you
Sean
are just
Duffy.
As nice on TV as you are off camera, which is very cool.
I tell everybody, and thank you for that, Snookums. I tell everybody,
Snookums,
like, I'm like one of the people who cares. Like, Maybe like, you know, down the road there'd be this version of me that doesn't, but like I actually care, and it's nice. It's nice to talk to these people, and I know they react to you too, but it's different for you because you're in. Okay, think about this. You don't like to own this, but Sean Duffy started out as an MTV star, rode that to Washington. Now you're all over the television, so you've gone through every pantheon of this type of notoriety. You know what I'm saying? And I think you're more comfortable in it. More comfortable out of it, or is it the same?
Can I tell you what's interesting? That's actually a really good point. Like, so this is all fleeting.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really, I mean, it's really nice that people will go, hey, Jimmy Failla, how's it going? Like, I did reality TV. I did The Real World. For those who don't know, I met my wife on reality TV. And for our age genre, like, I could go into any bar in America and people knew who I was. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. And, you know, if you're not on TV a year and a half later, like, no one knows who you are.
Yeah.
It's all fleeting. And so if someone goes, hey, I recognize you walking down the street, that's a pretty cool thing. And you should be like, hey, thank you.
You
want to take a selfie? And
thank you.
Where do you come from?
And thank you.
Like, yeah, it's great. Oh, and to go, listen. And people who are jerks about it, it's like,
oh, they're the worst.
Dude, come on.
No, but I, like, what I'm saying is, like, I'm opening up joint checking accounts with these people. Like, I'm beyond that.
It's like, I'm investing in your business.
Like,
you have a business idea? Jimmy Failla, writing a check.
Like, they're actually, like, hurrying me along. They're like, listen, Jimmy, I know you're busy. You keep going. You get out of here. I gotta go.
We know you gotta go, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's like, right. Wow, this guy's really lonely. This Jimmy guy talked to us for a half hour. But
that's what's cool.
They're the best people. And the only thing I wanted to say, we're 2 minutes out here, and of course, we'll see each other again tonight on the red carpet.
We will.
dance floor and everything else, is Nashville is something everybody needs to see at least once because it's such a stampeding herd of happiness. Everybody, the vibe out there on Broadway is phenomenal. Everybody's cool. And it's a reminder that, like, you know, wherever you stand politically, which is fine and it's great, okay, your point of being alive is what we're doing in Nashville. Doesn't necessarily mean drinking and singing karaoke. It just means being in that mood.
But it means that, too.
Yeah, of course. Damn,
drinking
right,
beer
does.
And singing karaoke.
Damn right, it does.
You know, I can say that I get to close out the Thursday hour of Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. It was very cool, by the way. You saved me for the very end. You're like, it was. I know there's a lot of hype
and
excitement.
You were the closer.
Yeah, you did like 2.5 hours of hype for this interview. And
the
I appreciate
great pumpkin
that.
Flew over.
People are like, what? He didn't mention you coming out at all.
He said no.
Like, no, I did.
We were promised Sean Hannity. Right. This is, I'll tell you what a ripoff that Jimmy is.
You got Sean Duffy coming in.
Wow, Sean Duffy, the bell of the ball. And you'll see me on Sean Hannity later if you guys are listening after the Patriot Awards. We'll sneak out there, do some live TV, and then we're heading to the bar, Sean Duffy.
You're gonna say, I'm joining Laura Ingraham before the show and doing Fox and Friends tomorrow morning, so
The sun never sets. The sun never sets on the Sean Duffy empire.
Well, no, you know what? You'd like to sleep, and there's going to be limited sleep, but you know what? You know, we got a weekend coming up.
Thank you. Do we ever. And I'll be spending mine in Naples, Florida at the Off the Hook Comedy Club. The early shows are sold out, guys. There's like a double digits, but not high double digits tickets left for the late shows if you guys want to make that move. Sean Duffy, I know you'll be there in spirit.
Well, I will be. And just I'll make one other comment. As I stand right next to you doing this show, because when we do it in the studio, we're a little bit far apart.
Yeah.
But I'm standing here with you right now, and I'm like, I'm looking at you, and I'm like, you don't have any gray hair.
No.
And the amount of time that you work and the energy, you're a fun guy, but this can be stressful. You do a lot. You do a lot of hits on a lot of different topics, and the demands are great. You have no gray hair, Jimmy.
Sean Duffy, I'm impressed.
I'm
at ease. I'm just at ease. Like I live in a good vibe. I live in the moment.
Duffy's got like gray hair all over. I'm like, I wish I had Jimmy. Like I used to not be gray.
Folks,
now I'm like, it's coming in.
I apparently need to write a self-help book. That's what this 24 hours has convinced me of. The show is over. Shout out to all the Patriots. We'll be honoring you tonight at Grand Old Opry House. This one's over. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you on Fox Nation tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Bye-bye.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.